honor to be here with you. Romans chapter 7, verse number 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Notice, nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, which is really means a longing for that which is forbidden. For without the law, sin was dead. Skipping to chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. And I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments about the weakness of the law and the strength of his Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. I may need a little more monitor, if you don't mind, to help me with this scraggly voice. Amen. I appreciate that. Would you lift your voice with me right now? Let's pray. Let's ask for the favor of God. Would you help me? Everybody, let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Thankful for your name, your Spirit, your blood, your word. I ask you again for that precious anointing, God, to preach the word of the Lord to people that you love, that the will of God might be accomplished, God, tonight in this service. And no flesh shall glory in your presence, but we shall give you all the praise and all the honor, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Before you're seated, turn around, look at somebody and tell them, I wish I looked half as good looking as you do tonight. Amen. Everybody's got to come repent for lying when I'm through preaching. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. The moment that the forbidden fruit was partaken of in the Garden of Eden, we understand tonight that sin was ushered into our world. Man was thrust out of this garden of paradise. He is wandering around in this new world, but fallen man has a tremendous problem. He does not know what God likes and what God dislikes. Everything has now changed because sin is here. But what is sin? The Bible teaches us that sin is lawlessness or transgression of God's will, either by omitting to do what God's law requires or by doing what it forbids us to do. It is the transgression that can occur in thought, it can occur in word, or it can occur in deed. One commentator noted, because Adam was the head and representative of the whole human race, his sin affected all future generations. Amen. Associated with this guilt is a corrupted nature passed from Adam to all of his descendants. And out of this perverted nature will arise all the sins that people will commit. And no person is free from involvement in sin. Amen. We understand we were all born sinners. Somebody said, well, I can't help it. I was born this way. Well, we understand. That's why you've got to be born again. Amen. We've all got one thing in common. We were all born wrong. But we got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Amen. And since God demands righteousness, sin must be defined in terms of mankind's relation with God. And so sin can be termed or defined as the faithless rebellion of the creature, amen, against the just authority of his creator, amen. And so for this reason, breaking God's law at any point involves transgression at any point. Nelson's Bible Dictionary tells us that violation of the law of God in thought, in word, in deed shows the sinfulness of the human heart. Sin is actually a contradiction to the holiness of God. And so I could say tonight, simply put, that sin is rebellion against God's law, which is the standard of all righteousness. And so this is what Adam and Eve had done. The very first law was given in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. That was the law of God. I thought about that and thought, man, it'd be easy to pastor in the Garden of Eden. You only have one message. Don't eat the fruit. Amen. No social media, no internet, no holiness standards. No, it's just one man. Don't eat the fruit. Amen. It'd been easy to preach back then. Amen. But as simple as it was, amen, as that was the only law that was given, God even gave the consequences. If you break this one single commandment, he said, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Amen. And you know the warning was not heeded. Amen. The law was broken. The fruit was eaten that day. And there truly had been a death, as God said there would be. Man's innocence had died. Man's purity had died. Man's relationship with God had died as he knew it. And the door to sin now was wide open because of fallen man's rebellion. And man's nature had changed from that perfect nature into a carnal nature. And now he was now controlled by a sinful, amen, nature. And so now there are all kinds of things that man would desire to do, that man could do and would do, that God would hate. For the nature of man was now a sinful creature, amen. But what were those things? What would it be that man would desire to do that God would not want man to do? What were the things that man would desire to do that would bring the anger of God or the judgment of God? Can you understand tonight the peril that man was in? That now there's these passions, there's these desires, there's these things he wants to do, but yet he doesn't understand what does God like and what does God hate? For it had not been defined. And so the law of God was given. Amen. It was the word of God. And the law of God, it defined sin. Amen. I hope y'all stay with me for a few moments tonight. Let me just feel my way through this tonight. The law of God, it defined sin. It showed man what sin was. It exemplified, it explained to fallen man, this is what God likes and this is what God dislikes. It showed man, this is what God expects out of you. And it showed man how to deal with his failures as a sinner. And so the Apostle Paul says that the law of God was not sin. It only showed man what sin was. He said, because of the law, I know what sin is. He said, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He was a man fallen in sin, shapen in iniquity. He's got all these passions, and the law said, you can't have that. It's going to bring the judgments of God. You can't go there. God will not be pleased. You can't be involved in that. You'll lose the favor of God. It was the law that described what God liked and what God disliked. But problem was, Bible said that the law was weak for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. It was right, but it had no power. In fact, it even stirred up sins. We read in Romans 7:5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, those sinful passions which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What he was saying was, is that man had these passions. He had these desires. He had these wants. And the law said, you can't have those things now. Those things are sinful. And man said, I understand that, but I can't help myself. Man said, I want this. And the law said, you can't have that. And man said, I understand that, but that don't take my desire away. That don't take my passion away. That don't take my drive away. Well, I feel my help coming on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. All it did was turn those desires into forbidden desires. All it did was turn those passions into lustful passions. The law said, you can't go there. But man said, I can't help myself. The law said, you can't have that. But man said, but I want it. So man's in a quandary. He's thirsty, and there's this thing he thinks is going to satisfy the desire of his flesh. And the law said, you can't have that. God said, no. And man's saying, but I'm still thirsty, but I still want it. I still have a desire for that. And the law was saying, you may have that desire, but now that's a forbidden passion. That's a lustful passion now. The law said, you can't have that. And man's saying, but I want that. And the law is saying, but if you have that, you'll lose the favor of God. If you partake of that, you'll find the judgments of God. You better not partake of that. And so here's fallen man. He's in a bad state. Because now he's got this law. It's almost, I could preach a little while on this, but I won't tonight. But it's almost like man feels like he's so bound and restricted. Because this law is saying things he can't do and he's got to do it and all these things. And so the law showed fallen man the right way. But it gave fallen man no power to walk in that right way. Man knew what to do, but had no power to do the things that God said do. And so the devil keeps taunting man. Sin keeps calling man and tempting man. And the devil's working a devious plan. And so here's man. He's got the law, but got no power. And hell keeps laying his devious plan. And there's these pitfalls that man's falling into. And he's having to suffer the judgments of God. And because the law said that sin will cost you something. There's a price to pay. The wages of sin is death. I want to tell you, friends, sin has a high, high price tag. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I've got a wife with a backslidden sister. Amen. She walked away from God at 18 years of age. She's 43 years old tonight. If I had time to tell you her story, she's paid a high price for mighty low living, friend. Amen. Don't you understand? The price tag of sin is high and costly. Rebellion always costs. Lust always costs. Pride always cost. So James James tells us, but every man's tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He says, here's the order. He said, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Can I just have 2 extra minutes here and stop here long enough to tell you? I sometimes get going and there's, you know, I start chasing rabbit trails, but I usually come back to my main trail. Sometimes I don't. Amen. You get my age, you start forgetting where you're at. Amen. And sin, when it is finished. You think when you break one little commandment, you've sinned. Sin's not done. You think when you just kind of do one little thing, amen, you're done. No, sin's not done. Sin's not done till there's a death. Sin's not done till your body's in a casket somewhere and your soul's going to hell. Amen. It don't stop with one worldly song. It don't stop with one bad text message. It don't stop with one bad website. The door's wide open now. And hell says, you may cry and you may be sorrowful, but I'm not done working in your life to rob you of your mind and to rob you of your joy. And I rob you of your victory. Oh, let's give God some praise together tonight. Come on. And so, let me get back to my teaching here. Do you understand tonight the predicament that fallen man is put in? It's constantly being tempted in the flesh to do all kinds of selfish, sinful acts. And all of these lustful passions that now war against him. Here's fallen man with his law that has no power to overcome. And now death is his reward. And so here is man who is in tremendous need. He needs something more than just the law. He needs power. He needs divine deliverance. He needs a savior from all his sins. I need something more than the law can provide. I need delivered from this old wretched body. I need somebody to pay the price and shed that royal blood that they sing about tonight and to save me from myself and to save me from my sins. And the Bible said, for what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's why God came robed in flesh and died. He paid the price. He fulfilled the law. He died in your place. He paid the cost of sin. He shed the blood. He died to set men free from the curse and the bondage of his sins. Paul told the church at Corinth, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. John said it like this, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And so God, robed in flesh, he was not Jehovah Junior. Can I talk about the chief cornerstone for a moment tonight? He was not number two in a man-made Trinitarian doctrine. He was the great I Am. He was God Almighty. 100% man and 100% God. He came, he that knew no sin, he became sin. And that lamb was nailed on a cross. Amen. He paid the price. He died to pay the price tag. But thank God, he rose again. Death had been defeated. The price had been paid. Salvation was well on the way for every fallen man. And because of his death, by way of death, He paved a way for divine deliverance. And I want you to hear me tonight. It hadn't changed in 2,000 years. You want deliverance? You got to die at an altar. You say, preacher, I can't help myself. You ain't died at the altar. I'm going to tell you what, elder, I've never seen a dead man smoke. I've never seen a dead man drink. I've never seen a dead man hooked on pornography. I've never seen a dead man beat his wife. You know what your problem is? Get back to an altar and you die and you say, not my will, but thy will be done. He didn't go to Calvary for a weak, bound up church. But he was our example. You want divine deliverance? Go to the altar and die out to your flesh. So Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh, defeated sin at Calvary. But even Calvary by itself was not enough. We still needed power over sin. Power to walk right. Power to live right. Power to live a holy, separated lifestyle. Man needed apostolic power. Something more powerful than the law could provide all by itself. More than a list of do's and don'ts, and more than a checklist of spiritual obligations. Man said, I need power to walk right, power to live right, power to think right. I need great Holy Ghost power. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. He said in Luke 24, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What was that power? Friend, they come out of that upper room dancing and shouting and talking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Amen. Men from every nation was saying how here we hear them speak in all these native tongues. What they were saying was, amen, what's going on around here? What do I see? What do I hear? And what do I feel? It was a sign Isaiah had prophesied. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And they were all amazed. What meaneth this? And you know the message. Peter began to preach that wonderful Acts chapter 2 message. And this is my simple point I'm getting to quickly tonight. That here we are. And this is exactly what fallen man had been waiting on. Since the very first law was broken, it was the outpouring of the Spirit of God. The outpouring of the divine deliverer. The baptism of a holy anointing to break every yoke. The Spirit of truth dwelling inside the hearts of every man. The help of the Holy Ghost. And now man said, I've got the law, but I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the way, but I've got the truth. I've got the word, but now I've got power. Holy Ghost power to live right in a crooked world. I've got the help of the great I am. Oh, come on, thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, lift your voice and praise Him with me together. Oh, I've come to preach to this church tonight that the world that we're living in is tired of shams. They're tired of dead, dry, powerless religion. They're tired of religion that doesn't change anybody. They're tired of going just to church, but they never get their marriage fixed. Their kids never get off drugs. The husband don't stop. I got an email from the American Family Association, I guess, and it said that, and I just read the title of the email. I haven't read the article yet, but it said something about 68% of Christian men are hooked on pornography. They're tired of going to a church that has no power. They're tired of their AA meetings and they don't get better. They're tired, amen, of psychiatric drugs and they don't get better. They're tired of antidepressants. They're tired of their aches and their pains. Amen. What they're saying is, God, somewhere out there, I've got to find you more than a man-made religion, more than a dead, dry church. Is there a place where the power of God still falls and men are healed and made whole? Is there a place where your God can set me free and fix my marriage and save my family? I say, God, let it happen right here, God. Baptize this house. Baptize this church. And God, set this city on fire. I was flipping through the radio trying to find something to listen to between there and here. And it's funny, go down south and all the gospel stations are on the, 89.3, and come up here and it's 99.1 or whatever it is. And so you never know, and I'm flipping through. And I guess it was old Sun Life Radio, old Brother Swaggart. The cross. He worships the cross. Sometimes I think he thinks the cross died on Jesus. Amen. It's all about the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. But they were singing, and every once in a while, I can stomach a little bit of it. I just, nothing else to listen to. I listen to that. You know, it was either that or rap music, so I thought about it for a while, and amen. Same result, probably. But anyway, man stopped them when they were singing, and the man tried to preach for a minute. As soon as he got through, he was like, "Oh, come on, now everybody clap your hands, clap your hands, clap your hands." And so then he got to preaching another minute, and he said, "All right, now turn, shake hands with somebody, high five them," or whatever he did. And I thought, I would so love to take that little sound clip right there and sit that man down and say, "Okay, sir, You're so right. Why is it when you preach like that, you have to hurry and follow that up with a, all right, go, let's clap our hands. Let's do something." You won't know why? Because you know it'll die as soon as you stop talking. Because there's no life in that. Every time you start preaching, you've got to say, "Okay, now do this action right here." Because you know as soon as you get through preaching, whatever you're saying, it's going to be nothing but crickets chirping. Because there's no life in that. Amen. Oh, God, don't let that come to the apostolic movement, Lord. Don't let that come to this church, Lord. But let there be a spirit of God that moves while we're praying, and moves while we're singing, and moves while we're preaching, and moves in the altar call, a free flow of the Holy Ghost from front to back and from side to side. I got to behave. No. Yeah, I got to behave myself here, but I'm going to tell you what. I can already tell some of y'all got the wrong understanding. You see, you think you came here tonight to see what you could get out of God. You don't come to church to receive from God. You come to God's house to give unto God. I give God my time. I give God my praise. I give God my tithe. I give God my offering. I give God my heart. I give God my best. And then God shows up. And then God blesses. And then God moves. After you move, God moves. Let's love him. Come on. In the name of Jesus, baptize us, God, with the Holy Ghost, with your fire, God. Huh.
That's why we've got to drain every service. Come on, musicians, please help me. We've got to drain every service of its potential. Because you don't know the need. And you don't know the heavenly agenda. And this could be the only meeting, the only time somebody comes across that certain point with God and find what they need. Can I just brag on Jesus and excuse me, even though I'm a part of the story, forgive me for a personal bow. I'll testify, amen, the first Sunday of the year, preaching somewhere. Actually, was in Louisiana that night. And had an altar call and different things and prayed for some people and all that. The very next Sunday morning, after service, the lady stopped me. She said, "Brother Green, I'll tell you what God did for me." She said, "I have, I forgot what she called it, sciaticus or something like that, where both sciatic nerves are just." She said, "For 5 years, I suffered in agony." Can you imagine suffering for 5 years? She said, "I lived 7 minutes from the church. By the time I'd leave my house, the time I'd get to the parking lot, I'd be in tears. The pain was that bad." She said, "I got prayed for. I prayed for myself. I fasted. And it's like nothing would work." And she said, "I gave up hope and just resolved to the fact this is the way I'll have to live the rest of my life in pain." But the Holy Ghost fell on her on a Sunday night. And God healed her body. And then last night of that revival, I called her out front and I said, "No more pain." She said, "No more pain." Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost was there that night? Aren't you glad somebody did more than give Jesus a Baptist hand clap? But somebody said, "I'm oppressed tonight, and get the power of God in the house tonight. I'm digging, I'm pushing, I'm pressing." Who knows what God would do tonight? Who knows? Who knows? Before they came to this service tonight, somebody might have said, "God, I'll give you one more chance. If I don't feel you tonight, if I don't find you tonight, God, I'm blowing my brains out when I get home." Who knows the cripple that may show up tonight? He says, "God, I'm going to give you one more chance. I need relief in my body, God." What I'm saying is, folks, there are seasons. We do break out the chalkboard, and we don't have it near enough. And the man of God takes the word of God. He breaks a bit of life and we feast on that taught word. But then there are seasons. Rich Katie, bar the door, honey. Roll your sleeves up. If you leave here without sweating, you may not make the rapture. Oh, come on, you know what I mean tonight. I'm talking about it ain't business as usual, friend. It's time to have church. Have a move of God. Time to pray and lift our voices. Time to fast and push that plate back. Time to sing with the anointing and pray with the anointing and worship God with such zeal and such passion and push and pray and dig for sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. In an hour, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. In an hour where they're preaching, amen, just little pansy messages, we're still preaching, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Yes. I believe that tonight, folks.
Yes. Amen.
Struggling man, sin shall not have dominion over you. Struggling lady, sin shall not have dominion over you. Struggling teenager, sin shall not have dominion over you. It won't rule over you. It won't control you. There's a power to break the shackles and the chains. But I'll tell you this, and I'm not pointing fingers tonight, God knows. I've never seen anybody get healed just sitting there unconcerned. I've never seen anybody get the Holy Ghost just sitting there like they're entertained at a movie theater somewhere. Never saw anybody get anything from God when they weren't trying to get a hold of God first. So you know what? God's in this house. We've all got needs tonight, friend. And I present something to you more than just the law. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Whatever you need, it's around this front tonight. Whatever you need, as they sing, lift your hands, lift your hearts, and lift your voices and say, God, tonight I need that power. I want that anointing. I want that glory cloud, God. Tonight I want that divine deliverance in my life. It's here. It's here. Come on. I need that power. That Holy Ghost power.
The power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Come on, teenagers. There's help. There's strength. There's deliverance here.
Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Oh, come on, power.
Let the power of power the Holy Ghost.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Fall on me.
Somebody dig.
Anointing.
Somebody press. Somebody get that power working in the house today.
Anointing.
Oh, yes.
Fall on me.
Come on, Holy Ghost power.
Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing.
Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out.
Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost.
Need that Holy Ghost power.
Fall on me.
Come on, why don't you join with somebody around you? Brother, find you a brother. Hey, sis, find you a sister. Join with somebody and pray.
Anointing.
Pray, pray, pray.
Fall on me.
Yes.
Anointing.
It's here.
On me.
It's here.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's it, teenagers.
Fall on me.
That's it, young married couples. Go ahead.
Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Take my hands, take my feet. Use me, Lord, for your glory. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Take my hands, take my feet, use me, Lord, for your glory. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Oh, that's it. Sing it again. Hallelujah. Anointing, I need that anointing, Jesus.
Fall on me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Come on, no music, just the voice of the church. Just lift your voice. Everybody lift your voice. Come on. Come on, come on. Let your voice carry the music tonight. Go ahead. Let your prayer be the music tonight. Come on, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on. There's strength in this right here, right here. Go ahead. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, help us, ladies. Help us, ladies. Woo! Somebody's finding help tonight. Somebody's plugging in tonight to strength. Yeah! Power! Come on, let's all lift our hands and love the Lord together. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord for what he's doing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to say something. I know you're praying. I know you're praying. But I feel so strong to say something here tonight. I'm not killing anything tonight, but I feel so impressed to say something tonight. I want all of you to listen to me. This Bible talks a lot about the last days. And now whether you want to say this is the last days or we've got 5 more years or 10 more years, that's immaterial right now to me. We're living in an evil, evil hour. I don't care how good the economy does and military and all that. We're living in an evil, evil hour. I salute all these young people living for God in this hour. I'm going to tell you what. I salute anybody living for God in this hour. But you better hear this preacher. If you've heard nothing else I've said tonight, you hear me. We cannot afford to live this life without a walk with God. I don't care if you can quote 14:1 God scriptures. 37 baptism scripture. I don't, that if you are not walking in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of your flesh. Men, brethren, tell you what, one of the best days of my life was a day that I realized, boy, every day you better grab your flesh by the nape of the neck and say, I'm going to the church. I'm putting my face in that carpet. And I'm saying, God, don't leave me today. I'm going to tell you what I do. I've got a 4-year-old boy. I had 3 girls and Mr. Surprise. That little boy is my world, but I'm going to tell you what. Come here, but I'm going to use you. Oh, you're too tall. Get back down here. Turn around. His name is Kip. He's wired 440. When we walk somewhere, this is how we walk. I steer him like this. And if they don't do that, I got my finger right back here. Am I in the Spirit? You know why? Because he's wide open. And he's an excellent kid. That's just dad, okay? I've started praying that. It dawned on me. I started praying, God, today, put your hand on my head and steer me the right way. I say, God, put that finger in my shirt collar. And you pull me back and you move me around, God, but don't take your hand off of me. I'm telling you, it's too easy to get carnally minded, men. Young people, it don't have to be a struggle. You start every day praying through. You get that victory in your soul every morning. And you just let God lead you the rest of the day. I'm afraid we're preaching about great, great revival. We're trying to build it on a prayerless generation. It's never going to work. Sin is way too accessible. It's in your face. Even without the internet, it's everywhere. It's blatant. It's in your face. Anybody who try to go to heaven and not pray and walk with God, you are gambling, and I don't even know if you even have a chance to make it. It's going to take more than saying, well, I go to New Life and my pastor, Brother Worst, and I know the doctrine. I know all that. I understand that. But what are you going to do when sin comes knocking on your door? You better have something churning on the inside. You better have that relationship. You better have something that can make you be like Joseph and say, I cannot do this against my God. He means too much to me. I'm telling you, I thank God for the word. But with this letter, it's got to come the Spirit. And it's too easy, brethren, to get dry and carnal. And it don't take but just a small little flame to ignite sinful passions. And hell has destroyed yet another young man, another young lady, another marriage. We've got to walk in the Spirit every day. Keep it churning. How many of you will commit with me? Amen. I'm gonna pray every day this week. I'm going to pray for a move of God this week here. I'm going to pray for revival. Anybody say, I'll push the plate back. I'm on a meal a day, whatever. I'll sacrifice somewhere of the week. I'm gonna do something all week. And we come back in here Sunday morning, it's just going to pick up where we left off. Who knows? Who knows the sinners that God could bring Sunday morning? The sick people that God could bring? Who knows the potential of a service? When the church gets right, man, hell's got to go into a defensive mode. That's what I want to see. Amen. Let's pray for that right now. Powerful move of the Holy Ghost as your pastor comes. Come, won't you lift your voice? God, we want a move of your Spirit this week.